All right, you can go ahead and be seated. I'm delighted to introduce my dear friend, Brian Sharp, Dr. Brian Sharp, actually. All these guys, I think, have got a degree. But they're all my friends, so I'm not worried about titles and doctorates and all that kind of stuff. It really doesn't matter. But Brother Sharp and I have been friends since 1990. Had a strange beginning to our friendship. He was pastoring a little church right around the St. Louis area, and I don't know how you got a hold of me. Was it through Dave Coleman? Whoever? Misdialed number. That might have been true. But when I arrived and we met, I mean, we almost got in a fist fight. So, and I'm not kidding you. I mean, it was tense. And he called Ed Braggs. I'm just going to cancel that guy. But we went ahead and had the meeting. And by the time it was over, there was a tremendous kindred spirit and developed great friendship. But we've been friends for a long time. Appreciate him. Appreciate his stand. And the one thing you'll note about Brother Sharp is he is a Bible preacher. He has a great mind. He's always well prepared whenever he comes to preach and knows what he's going to say. He'd been preaching for 43 years. 35 of those were in evangelism. And because of Johnny's health, he was unable to travel. And some of those other times just stopped and built a church where he was. I appreciate that. He didn't just sit down and wait until Johnny's health got better. He went ahead and did something where he was, still knowing his call. So we're going to have the Seminoles sing a couple of songs for us, and on the heels of that, my good friend Brother Sharp will come and give us the opening message of the day.
Been good to be in church this week.
Destiny forever changed when I called upon that name. What's in a name? All the power of heaven. What's in a name? My sins all forgiven. Yesterday, today, forever, He is still the same. Jesus, what's in a name? my sins all forgiven. Yesterday, today, forever, He is still the same. Jesus, what's in a name? What's in a name?
Blessing hearing a testimony of the young man from Texas, amen, and his burden to go reach folks, and I really believe that's what this is all about, amen, and it's a thrill. This is our first time being here, and when we came around the corner and saw them buses back there, that was a thrill. That's a bunch of lifeboats lined up, amen.
Who is knocking on our door on Saturday morning?
It's the school bus. What's the school bus doing here on Saturday? Oh, wait, that's not the school bus. That says church on the side.
Church? I wonder what they want.
I don't know.
Yes, may I help you?
Hi, I'm Joe from the Baptist Church down the road. I was just wondering if you guys wanted to come to church with us tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow's Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, we got the big game. All the guys are coming over. No, we're busy.
Yeah, we're busy.
Well, is there anybody else that would like to go?
Well, our daughter might want to go.
What's her name?
Her name's Penny.
All right, we'll come pick her up tomorrow morning.
The bus pulls up to the old house Sunday morn, with a prayer the worker knocks on the door. Please God, this family needs the Lord. Make them open up the door so we can pick up little Penny. The invitation came, the preacher gave his plea. Trust in the Lord and He will make you free. The transaction so quickly made, she called on Him, her debt was paid. A soul was gained cause Jesus saved Penny.
And even though her name was Penny, she was priceless to the Lord. And Penny got saved cause someone spent their time. Souls that we lead to Christ, our rewards laid up in store. And a penny saved is a penny earned that will last forevermore.
People see a penny in the dirt and leave it there cause it's of little worth. They don't take the time to pick it up, cause they feel that they have enough. But God reached down and picked up that penny.
And even though her name was Penny, she was priceless to the Lord. And Penny got saved cause someone spent their time. Souls that we lead to Christ are rewards laid up in store. And a penny saved is a penny earned that will last forevermore.
Thank God that He picked up that penny. Who will go and pick up those
Thank you so much. Good to see you all this morning. A little boy was by the roadside with a cardboard box full of puppies, and he written on the outside, Democrat puppies for sale, $10 each. Man walked by, looked in, saw how they were striped and spotted. And a few days went by, and the man walked down the street and saw that box. The little boy had crossed out Democrat and put Republican. He crossed out $10 and put $20. Man looked in the box and he said, "Son, these are the same puppies you had last week. How come they were $10 and now they're $20? And the boy said, "Now they got their eyes open." Without looking or talking, I want you to turn to what you think is the most familiar verse in the New Testament that more people know than any other verse. Now, don't look upon somebody. Just whatever you think. I want to see what comes to your mind. We'll certainly give you the verse before we begin preaching, but I want to give you time to decipher that and find it. Thank you, Brother Coral. Brother Coral is my friend. We have been friends for a long, long time. Thank you for the opportunity. And Brother Angel, also, thank you for the opportunity. And I would appreciate it if you'd sit down at a time here before I get started. Well, I invite you to please stop by the book and tape table that is back there. I'll just make brief mention of it. I have a series. It's condensed, but it's why I disagree with replacement theology. I ask this question in every church I go to. The pastors are alarmed by the number of hands that go up. Do you know what the phrase Judeo-Christian ethics means? Less than 5% of independent Baptist church members raise their hand. I was recently at a couple of churches where the pastor did not even know what that meant. Judeo-Christian ethics, Judeo-Christian... You see, we've replaced the Judeo part with just Christian ethics. Now, follow me. Now, Christian ethics have been replaced. We don't have any ethics in this country. Very few ethics. If you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you are. If you don't know where you are, you have no idea where you're going. So that's available. And then the forgotten doctrine of adoption. This is the entire book of Ephesians. It's one quarter of Romans. It's one quarter of Galatians. It's a good percentage of Peter, what he wrote in 1 and 2 Peter. I'll be teaching about it this afternoon at 2. Please come if you can. And then there's a message, "Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." The reason David wrote that, and he said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." No illegitimate child could enter into the house of the Lord till the 10th generation. Judah committed a terrible sin. David was the 9th generation. Solomon was the 10th. And when Solomon completed the temple, they looked at David and said, "It's okay now. Come on in. It's all right." Now, I don't know about you and I, but after you got saved, it's okay now. "Your feet will stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." I will give every pastor or anybody here a free Gentile Ministry Hebrew Bible. We print our own. We're on our third printing in less than 1 year. To date, we've given out over 17,800 Hebrew Bibles to Jews, mostly in Israel, but across the world. We ship every single day. These are one-on-one. After a conversation has ensued, we're looking people into the eyes. I'll give you a free Bible. It's not for you to learn how to read Hebrew. It's for you to give to a Jewish person. Just got word 2 days ago. How many of you know the name Hyman Appleman? His great-grandson was just unsaved Jew, was just given one of our Gentile ministry Hebrew Bibles. I'll be on this one as soon as tomorrow. You pray for him, if you would, please. The Gentile ministry has started 15 different ministries in Israel. Both of our churches are flourishing. Our church in Ashdod is averaging in the 20s. You say, that's not much. Go to Israel. We have 4 bus routes, van routes, in Israel. We have 3 separate Bible studies each and every week. We have 2 ladies' Bible studies. We have 6 Israelis that have surrendered to preach the gospel that we are training right now. For that, we're very, very thankful. We're loading up for that greatest revival of all time. It's going to happen during the trip. I'm not going to be here when it happens, but I want in on it. I'm glad those Jews in the Old Testament, when they read about the great Gentile revival coming, I'm glad they didn't get locked into a dispensation and not take the gospel to us. Praise God. Amen. Because they fulfilled their duty, and that's our duty, to provoke Israel to jealousy, to minister unto them in carnal things, and to complete that full circle and take the Bible back to them because they gave it to us. It's by God's word that they'll prove the Antichrist is not the Messiah. Matthew 24, verse 15, the part that's in parentheses. So I went in on that, and God is blessing us. We have a ministry with the Jerusalem Police Department. We're in over 30 different villages along the Gaza border with the blessings of the IDF and those who are in charge of security. We just opened up another 300-man special ops unit to us. I will be preaching to them in October. Every one of them will get a Hebrew scripture with all the prophecies pointing to the Messiah. God has done some wonderful, wonderful things. Stop by the table. We'll be glad to give you a free Hebrew Bible. Well, I've paid close attention to all seven previous speakers. I've taken detailed notes, observed them as accurately as humanly possible. If I'm correct, and according to my calculations, there has been 1,713 pounds of preachers stand behind this pulpit. We are about to tip the scales over one ton. All right, what verse are you at? John 3:16. Title of the message, give me that old-time religion. John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Father, we pray that You would bless this day, bless this message, bless all the speakers that will follow, the messages that have been preached. May Your will be done. May we preach the gospel to the poor, those that are poor of heart, soul, mind, character, knowledge, wisdom. May these words proclaim liberty to the captives, those that are being held behind the prison bars of faithlessness and unbelief. May You give the oil of joy for mourning and beauty for burnt out ashes. May You plant something by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. We give You the glory and praise for what You're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen. John 3:16 is the most memorized and quoted verse of New Testament scriptures. It is the most preached about text found in the Gospels. John 3:16 has been called the Gospel in a nutshell. During the 16th century, in the days of Queen Elizabeth, a calligrapher by the name of Peter Bales wrote the entire Bible so small and on parchment so thin that it could be folded up and the entire Bible placed inside the hull of a common walnut. Now, that's pretty small and that's pretty thin. Reminds me of the bacon, egg, cheese biscuit I had going through the drive-thru the other day. That bacon was so thin it only had one side to it. Today, through advanced technology, even greater miniatures have been achieved, but none so great, none so comprehensive, none so exhaustive, none so complete as the meaning of John 3:16. Give me that old-time religion. John 3:16 is a definitive statement of compiled prophecies. It is the seed of woman spoken about in Genesis 3:15. John 3:16 is God providing Himself as a sacrifice foretold in Genesis 22:8. It is conception by a Jewish virgin whose male child would be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, as mentioned by Isaiah in his 7th chapter. John 3:16 is specific in time and location. According to Daniel's 9th chapter of mathematical equation and Micah's 5th chapter of geographical location, thereby it guided the wise men as to when and where the Son of God would be born. John 3:16 is a fulfillment of God's desire to reconcile man to Himself. Though the seed of woman be at enmity with Satan, that same seed breaks down the middle wall of partition between sinful man and a holy God, thereby making possible the reconciling of the two. That same seed also breaks down the middle wall of partition between an Old Testament believing Jew and a New Testament believing Gentile. That middle wall has been broken down. There is no division between old and new. One is just a continuation of what was already going on. The two are reconciled into one body, one church, by one faith, in one God, by one Messiah, both Jew and Gentile, connected to one cornerstone, both ultimately becoming one bride for one God in one city for all eternity. Give me that old-time religion. John 3:16 is the summation of Moses' writings and the writings of the prophets. They began and were finished in God's Son. He was in the beginning as the Word. He became God in the flesh. He was given so that we might behold Him. Give me that old-time religion. Number one, for God, the oldest and greatest deity. He's the Ancient of Days. His goings forth have been from everlasting. The one who laid the foundation of the world when no one was there to write, approve, or oversee the blueprint. There were no environmentalists there protesting. There was no EPA there making God get a carbon footprint permit. There were no global warmers there. It was a cold day this winter I was preaching. It was so cold, I thought for sure Nancy Pelosi would give Donald Trump a hug that day. I'll tell you what I did see on the TV. It was so cold, Richard Simmons was caught wearing a pair of pants. Now, that's a cold day. By God, all things consist, and without Him was there nothing made that is made. Give me that God. Give me the religion that believes in that God. If it wasn't for those first two words, for God, there'd be no man. For God formed man of the dust of the ground. If it wasn't for God, there'd be no eternal soul. For God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. No one willed themselves into existence. No one said, I think I'm going to be born. I think I'm going to arrive. I think I'm going to show up on the scene. No one even keeps themselves alive. You'd have to tell yourself every few seconds, breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in. Well, some of you need to do that this morning. Breathe in. Breathe out. You don't take care of that. God takes care of that for you. That's not a voluntary action. That's an involuntary action. No one forces their blood through every artery and vein they have, through capillaries to your utmost extremities. God does that. If it wasn't for God, there'd be no man. If it wasn't for God, there'd be no woman. For God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and He took one of his ribs. We men have been in a stupor with a pain in our side ever since. No. Today, the secular woman wants to replace her husband. Replacement theology. She wants to be separated from the man. She does not want to be a keeper at the home. Of the home, she does not want to obey. The secular, odious woman doesn't want to submit. She doesn't want that old-time religion that teaches she was created out of men. You say you're a woman. You sing the song, I am woman. Do you know what the word means? Woman, womb of the man. Not womb of a bunch of men. Woman, womb of the man. She wants rebellion instead of submission. She wants a career instead of a home. She wants multiple lovers instead of one husband. She wants the right to choose which baby lives and which baby dies without any personal consequences. Jezebel didn't escape his judgment. Give me the old-time religion where man was the head of the household. Give me the old-time religion where being a wife and being a mother was esteemed the highest calling and was not degraded. Where a secular vocation, a seductive vocation, was not elevated that above that which God created you for God. Give me the home that God ordained with a mother and a father and obedient children. Give me the old-time religion. If it wasn't for God, there'd be no light to illuminate a darkened earth, empty space, and non-perceptive minds. For God said, let there be light. For God said, let there be lights in the firmament. For God said, the entrance of His Word giveth light. Oh, what the soul is missing, not being able to see. Oh, what the soul is lacking, not being able to navigate. Oh, what one cannot comprehend without receiving God's light. For God's Word is a lamp unto my feet. And God's Word is a light unto my path. Give me that old-time religion. For God, the oldest and greatest deity. Number two, so loved, the oldest and greatest attribute. The ability to love is as old as the Godhead itself. John 17:5, Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the foundation of the world. John 17:24, Father, they also whom thou hast given me, be with me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. No love is older, no love is greater than God's love. As Christ so loved the church, men ought to so love their wives. No one adverb is in front of that. It's so loved. It's all encompassing from every facet possible. Nothing could prevent God from displaying this love toward mankind. It is the greatest of His attributes. It surrounds His throne. It's a rainbow, green, everlasting love and hope. It's displayed with His outstretched arms. Give me that old-time religion. For God, the oldest and greatest deity, so loved the oldest and greatest of His attributes. Number three, the world. The oldest and the greatest of the created planets. He made this earth, the one you're on the third day. He made every other planet, star, galaxy, on the fourth day. All you trekkers, we're older than you. He made this one a garden of perfection till sin defiled it. He will bless it again one day during the millennium. When He rules with a rod of iron, guns will be beat into plowshares and pruning hooks. Until He gets here and He's on the throne, I suggest you keep your weapon. The earth will bring forth abundantly during the millennium. Because Jesus Christ will be sitting on that throne in Jerusalem. He'll part the eastern sky with one foot on the Mount of Olives. That thing will be shaken down into the Kidron Valley, and every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall be made low. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He'll ride His white horse through those eastern gates, dismount, cast the Antichrist into the lake of fire, and assume His rightful position. And for 1,000 years, Jesus Christ will rule and reign. Water will flow from the throne. How high is the water, Mama? It starts out ankle deep. As it goes down the Jordan Valley, it becomes knee, and then to the loins, and then to the waist. And then it's a mighty river. And every place that water touches the banks, the trees begin to bloom and blossom, and the earth brings forth abundantly. Brother Carter, all the way down till it touches the Dead Sea where nothing is alive. But at that very moment, the fishermen will stand on the shores of En-Gedi and cast their nets and bring forth out of what used to be dead but has now been born again and made alive. They'll bring forth... And all the animals shall eat grass. And your grandkids and your grandkids can play upon the den of the poisonous adder. And Grandma won't have to worry about the rattle-headed copper moccasin slithering through the grass to get her grandchildren. Because there won't be any. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. Give me that old-time religion. The UN cannot do this. The Babylon crowd cannot do this. The social utopic crowd cannot do this. Only God. Give me that old-time religion. For God, the oldest and greatest deity, so loved the oldest and greatest of His attributes. the world, the oldest and greatest of the created planets, number four, that he gave. The oldest and greatest gift. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Question, who has the greater joy? The young eyes and quick hands that are tearing open the wrapping paper at Christmas time to see what's in, or grandma and grandpa in the rocking chair in the corner watching grandchild? Oh, who has the most joy? For his giving is the desire of nations. His giving maketh room. Ladies and gentlemen, when you got saved, you got so many gifts in that salvation. They were placed under the tree. I'm still finding out things that I got when I got saved. And like 3 days before Christmas, if you're honest, how many of you 3 days before Christmas, you noticed a gift under the tree with your name on it? No one was looking, so you picked it up and you shook it near your ear. And you weighed it in your hands. How many of you ever done that? How many of you are lying? Was it yours? Absolutely. Had the day come for you to open it? Not quite, but you're getting close. When God gave His Son, when you got saved, you got so much in this enormous box. You got His grace. You got His consolation. You got His comfort. You got His justification. You got His adoption and His sanctification and His forgiveness and His imputation. Give me that, old-time religion. For God, the oldest and greatest deity, so loved, the oldest and greatest attribute. The world, the oldest and greatest of His planets, that He gave the oldest and greatest act, number five, His only begotten Son. The oldest and greatest gift. Jesus Christ slain before the foundation of the world. And hope of eternal life which God promised before the world began. Please do not come to me with blasphemous statements saying that people in the Old Testament were saved differently than we in the New, or that people in the tribulation will be saved differently than Old and New Testament saints. The plan of salvation has always been the same. It's the oldest and the greatest religion. His only begotten Son. No greater love hath this than a man be willing to lay down his life for his friends. God gave His only Son to pay the sinner's invoice and its wage of sin. For the murderer, Jesus died for you. For the immoral, He died for you. For the thief on the cross, God gave His only begotten Son. For the liars, for the proud, for the scorners, for the gossipers, for the jealous, for the haughty. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. But God gave His Son so that all of those, and yea, all of us, your sin invoice was submitted unto Him. Because of His great gift and Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, your sin invoice, pray God, cha-ching, was stamped, paid in full. What religious works cannot do, God's gift of His only begotten Son can do. He did not, nor did He have to die for Himself. He died for you. He gave His life for you while we were yet sinners. Give me that old-time religion. For God, the oldest and greatest deity, so loved the oldest and greatest of His attributes, the world, the oldest and greatest of His created planets, that He gave the oldest and greatest act, His only begotten Son, the oldest and greatest gift, number six, that whosoever, that's the oldest and greatest invitation, from the epitome of the elite to the petty thief, from the ever conniving deceiver to the lazy entitlement bum. From the silver spoon fed to the dumpster diver. From the educated orator to the cursing dropout. From the physically fit and financially secure and mentally alert to the rest of us in this auditorium this morning. He says, whosoever. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll nowise cast you out. Give me that old time religion. The invitation that gave a cussing fisherman a chance. The invitation that gave an adulterous woman a chance. The invitation that gave a maniac a chance. The invitation that gave a thief a chance just before he breathed his last breath. They all ended up in his presence. Give me that old-time religion. The one that says, come unto me. The one that says, come let us reason. The one that says, come inherit the kingdom prepared for you. The one that says, come and dine. The one that says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life for it. Give me that old-time religion. For God, the oldest and greatest deity, so loved the oldest and greatest attribute, the world, the oldest and greatest of His creations, that He gave His oldest and greatest act, His Son, the oldest and greatest gift. Whosoever believeth in Him, the oldest and greatest invitation. Number 7, believeth in Him, the oldest and greatest faith. Adam believed in Him. Evidence was the coats of skin. The coats of skin were not the element of salvation. They were the evidence of salvation. Abel believed in Him. Why? Adam taught him. He brought the right sacrifice. Not the element of salvation, but evidence of what he already believed. Noah believed in Him. Why? He pitched that ark. Not only on the outside, but on the inside. Atonement. Shem believed in Him. Look what happened when Noah got drunk. Ham did his thing. Look at what the Scripture says there. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. He had it right. Japheth, Gentiles, you had a decision to make at that moment. Follow Ham or join yourself to the God of Shem and walk backwards and cover your father's nakedness. I'm glad we joined the precursor to... Not precursor, the father of the Jewish race, Shem. Abraham had that faith. Why? He looked for his city. Isaac had that faith. Why? He kept digging wells in his land. Jacob had that faith. How you know? He wrestled with Him and said, I won't let you go till you bless me. Peniel, I've seen God face to face. It could not have been God the Father because no man can look upon God and live. He was wrestling with a man. It was not God the Holy Spirit. You only got one member of the Godhead left. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. He had his faith in the right person. Joshua had that faith. He took off his shoes in front of him. Moses had that faith. He drank from that rock. David had that faith. He said, He's my Lord. Solomon had that faith because he wrote it in Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who hath gathered the wind in the fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? What's His name? I know who that is. It's God the Father. Next question. What's His Son's name? If thou canst tell. Don't tell me they didn't know who they were believing in. Jesus said, if you'd believe Moses, you'd believe in me because he wrote of me. Don't you come along wise in your own conceits, thinking you are enlightened and you've replaced anybody. You better thank God that some, not all, some of them were broken off that you might be grafted in. Where do you think you came from? Isaiah knew who he was writing about. A virgin shall conceive. Bring forth a son. We'll call his name Wonderful. We'll call him Emmanuel. God with us. Give me that old time religion. For God, the oldest and greatest deity, so loved the oldest and greatest attribute, the world, the oldest and greatest creation that He gave. The oldest and greatest act. His Son, the oldest and greatest gift. That whosoever, the oldest and greatest invitation, believeth in Him, the oldest and greatest faith, number 8, should not perish. The oldest and greatest promise. Men have sailed the world looking for the fountain of youth. Elixir and snake oil salesmen have conned the searching for millennium. False religions have controlled the naive for generations. Insurance companies have been made rich through the promises that some are willing to pay and the premiums that some are willing to pay just to get 1 year closer to immortality. But none can make the never perish promise. For all that do so deceitfully perish themselves. However, through God's gift of His Son to whosoever that believeth, the greatest promise of not perishing into a fiery lake of damnation is an absolute. God said it. You will not perish if you believe and receive His Son. Give me that old-time religion. For God, the oldest and greatest deity, so loved the oldest and greatest attribute, the world, the oldest and greatest of His created planets, that He gave the oldest and greatest act, His Son, the oldest and greatest gift, that whosoever, the oldest and greatest invitation, believeth in Him, the oldest and greatest faith, should not perish, the oldest and greatest promise, number 9, but have everlasting life. That's the oldest and greatest security. Amen. You were born somewhere along life's journey. You received Christ as your Savior. You were born again. From that moment, you have everlasting, from this point forward. And when you can imagine the end of that, add another day to it. And then when you can imagine that, it goes on. John 3:15 says you get eternal life. The two are slightly different. Not only did you get everlasting life from this point forward, you got eternal life. That's from wherever, all the way back past your salvation, in the beginning God. He's eternal in the heavens. You may not understand that yet. It's another gift you got when you got saved. Weigh this one. Search it out. Your life is now hid with Him. You are in Him. He is in you. When you see Him, you will understand this. No one else can make that promise. Life. Not cessation of life in a grave, but abundant life, everlasting life. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for the redeemed. What an unspeakable gift, full of glory. Give me that, old-time religion. Give me that, old-time religion. Give me that. Old-time religion. Give me that. Old-time religion.
Oh, it's a blessing. Amen. Thank you, Brother Sharp. John 3:16. Dr. R.G. Lee preached, didn't live, preached for 70 years. Now think about that. Preached for 70 years. And they came to him on his 90th birthday. I think he preached at pastor school. I remember being there for that. And they came to him after he'd been preaching for 70 years, and they said, Dr. Lee, I guess by now after preaching for 70 years, you've just about exhausted the Word of God. In that old Southern drawl, he said, I haven't even scratched the surface. And that's what you got this morning. We haven't scratched the surface of John 3:16. That one verse in the Bible. The surface hasn't even, the well is deep. I encourage the boys that, in homiletics at Providence, don't you overlook the familiar passages of Scripture, thinking that the last word has been said on that text. The last word has never been said on a text. That well is too deep. Too deep. And Brother Sharp took us there this morning and drew some stuff, fresh water out of that well. Amen. Thank you, Brother Sharp.